Good evening, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. This is the show where we explore things through the Akashic Records, and we are or have people on that like to explore things through the Akashic Records. And tonight, we are going to be exploring a very interesting subject, and that subject is addictions and specifically obesity tonight. So if you have some pounds to lose, or if you know someone who has some pounds to lose, please have them tune in. We're going to be taking some phone calls, and one of the things that I'd like to do is stay on the aspect of addictions or reasons why self-sabotage is in your life, those kinds of questions. And the numbers you're going to want to give a call to tonight to call into the show and ask your questions, anything around that is in the USA is 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 if you're in the Canada area. Or if you want to call direct from out of the country, our country code is 01. And you would call 530-876-3222. And you can email me your questions at akashicwisdom@aol.com. That's akashicwisdom@aol.com. I've got my computer on, and I'm ready to take your questions. Now, what's interesting about this whole idea of obesity is that that we have an epidemic or a pandemic or whatever you want to call it going on in the world today. There are more and more people looking to lose weight and change their beingness, their appearances, not just with losing weight, but all sorts of different ways. They're just not happy with the way they look. And I want to understand more about that. And for those people who know me, know that I have actually been challenged by weight for a good part of my life. And we were going to have some guests on tonight of Jill Lawrence and Debbie Darling. Unfortunately, schedules were conflicting and they were not able to join us tonight. But that's okay. Hopefully they'll listen in to another time. We'll have them on and we will move forward as scheduled tonight with just you and me. So let me just kind of give you some of the questions that were emailed me about obesity and why people are obese and et cetera, okay? So here's what I'd like to do. I want to get to my computer, and I want to be able to have these questions up and ready, and I had them in a notebook too, so just bear with me here just a second. So we're going to cover information regarding what the core issues are around obesity. We are going to talk about why things are the way they are with people, and let me just trying to get myself together here. I am actually calling you from Marlton, New Jersey. We actually had a wonderful class today, actually for the last two classes. So I am right now in Mapleshade, New Jersey, and I'm talking to you from a hotel room. So what I'd like to just share with you, I want you to know that this was kind of a marathon weekend. It was very interesting. It was a marathon weekend coming from a place of, we did a level two class in the morning, and we did on Friday we did a level two class, and on Saturday and Sunday we did a level two class on, and a level one class on, in the morning and in the afternoon. So it was quite a day, quite a weekend. Okay, so here's what I'd like to cover with you. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, somebody's there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I didn't even hear you come on. Hi there, caller. How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm good.
Listen, I wanted to ask you about the role of the appendix, since people, doctors seem to think it doesn't mean anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, where does that fit in your energy systems? And also, do you have any clues about Morgellons disease?
Interesting. Now, so you want to understand about the appendix.
Mm-hmm.
And why it's in the body? Is that what you're asking?
Well, I'm just asking you what you think its function is, because you're talking about the different energy systems. I thought your comments on the thyroid were very interesting. But since so many doctors just will take out your appendix, I mean, I think it's there for a reason, and I was wondering what kind of energy function it has in your system. Also, if you know anything about Morgellons disease and how that may be operating with people.
I just want to, are you calling the Akashic Wisdom Show, darling?
Oh, no. I'm calling, no. I was calling, this is really funny. I was calling Brooks Agnew's show.
And is that on the other part of this?
It's on Channel 2.
Okay. Those are actually different numbers. Those are different numbers.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, let's do that, because I really wanted to ask the doctor that. Well, anyway, who's your guest?
My guest is me. I'm taking calls. I'm going to be talking about the Akashic Records, and we're going to be delving into the idea of why obesity and addictions are on the planet.
So are you taking questions now?
I am, sure. But I'm not taking them about the appendix.
I know, but I tell you what, you know, I always have a question.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
No, talk to me about smoking addictions and what underlies that. For instance, I quit smoking for 20 years, and I came back to North Carolina, and I've started again, and it's a terrible addiction that I've taken up, and I just can't shake it now, and I think it's like an environmental situation. But what do you see? How can I break the habit?
You want to understand how to break the habit of smoking. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And also what the underlying causes are.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because that is very important. Mm-hmm. Can you share with me your first name, please?
Dawn.
Dawn. And where are you calling from, Dawn?
Charlotte.
Charlotte, North Carolina?
Yes.
I was just there a couple weekends ago. Okay, Dawn, let's talk about smoking, and let's talk about smoking and you. You see, smoking as an addiction what the records are saying is, in the very beginning, the act of the idea of smoking was actually brought about for a pleasurable experience, because
mm-hmm.
there was, as you know, the Indians used to smoke the peace pipe and had some other herbs in there that were, again, possibly hallucinogenic.
And also it was a sacred herb.
Right, it was a sacred herb, and it was a way of calming people down and helping people talk out their issues. That's the history that's coming from the records, just briefly, on why people started smoking the peace pipe, and it was to ally their fears as well as to make it possible for dialogue to begin. With not only within the tribe, but within the different tribes between them. And as it moved forward, and it actually started becoming a habit when the white man came forward and started seeing what was going on, and the addiction, let me get this right. Oh, this is very interesting.
Hmm.
The actual history of how smoking became an addiction had to do with the intention, the energetic intention of the white man in trying to manipulate the red man and trying to use tobacco as a profit-making venture rather than using it for the ceremonial and ritual uses that it had in its origins.
Are you saying that's like bad karma?
What they're saying is the energy around the act of smoking, and even around the actual interesting growing plants, shifted. And there, what came to be included within the, and they're using the word aura and energy of the plant. And it's not, they're not necessarily talking about bad karma, because it's not anything from a past life. It's in this particular realm, okay? It's in the realm of when you start manipulating the intention of the natural process, is when the energy gets skewed and it starts being qualified as an addiction.
That is fascinating.
It is, isn't it?
But how do I quit?
Okay, Dawn, how do you quit? So you started smoking when you were young, is that correct? That's what I'm hearing.
I started smoking in college because I was so bored, really.
Okay.
It really just kind of kept me from being so bored. And then I finally broke the addiction cold turkey after 10 years. And then I did not smoke for 20 years. And then I can't. See, I think there's some kind of energy that's sucking me into smoking here in North Carolina. Because when I came back to North Carolina, I found myself wanting cigarettes again, something I hadn't thought about for decades. And now I'm heavily addicted again. And yeah. I'm just trying to see what you see, you know, if it's location, if it's emotional issues, because it definitely feels an emotional need. I know that.
Right, there is.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what I can do or where I can go, because I broke it once, and I just wish I could, but right now I'm having a very difficult time with that.
Well, part of your addiction issue right now has to do with, it has to do with loneliness and being abandoned emotionally.
Absolutely. Total emotional abandonment.
Right. And the idea here is that it's the solace that you receive from the tobacco. It's the energy of that tobacco and what the chemicals. Now, it's really also important to understand that the tobacco that you're smoking today is totally different than this tobacco they smoked when it was first being put out. There's many more chemicals and pesticides and chemicals in that.
Actually, sometimes I smoke American Spirit, which is like a pure, like kind of Indian
leaf. Right, but even that, the idea is it's the soil. Okay, in other words, like even though it can be organic, when you started smoking again, you started smoking in regular cigarettes. And what they're saying here is that even though you may switch off to the American Spirit, the chemical residue is still within your body. And it gets, and they're using the word ignited. It kind of gets regenerated every time you have a cigarette. It's a combination of a physical addiction, an emotional addiction, and a mental addiction. And so the idea here is that it would be important or for you to begin to notice how you're feeling when you reach for that cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not suggesting even that you say, oh, I'm feeling this, so I've got to stop. No. It's really more about documenting your feelings when you're reaching for the cigarette as a way of taking like an inventory or noting a pattern.
Well, one thing, when I get under extreme stress,
yeah,
sometimes I absolutely have to smoke because it's the only thing that can just keep me. I'm not on Prozac or anything like that. And there are times when, if I'm under real stress, the only thing that can allow me to handle things are cigarettes.
Yes,
and that's just a fact.
One of the reasons for that is it's the one thing that causes you to take a deep breath.
But also the nicotine and whatever the solutions are. And
yeah, it's that's right. It gets into your bloodstream immediately. That's right. It is. That's exactly right. However, what they're saying is they're not actually telling you to stop.
Really?
They're not telling you to stop. What they're saying is begin to identify the reasons why you're doing it and begin to work on those issues. Because as you work on those issues, the need for the cigarettes will be eliminated.
Well, you see, the thing is, when you talk about abandonment, if you live in a place like New York City and you're always exchanging energies with people because you're walking and there's a lot of variety, it's one thing. If you're in a city where everybody's living in huge brick mansions and driving SUVs everywhere and nobody walks or talks, I'm a very spiritualized and really an old soul and an advanced spirit. And I need a different kind of situation than here. And I think cigarettes kind of make me feel like I'm connected to the universe in a way that is not accessible for me in Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
So you're liking to be the rebel here, huh?
I beg your pardon?
I said you like being the rebel.
No, it's not a matter of being a rebel. It's like an old European city where there are actually people that walk places and have discourse and dialogue. And it's not about five children and a huge house. And an SUV. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. And there are no spiritual communities in Charlotte?
It's not so much spiritual. It's just kind of a city situation. I mean, I'm not the kind of person that's going to an ashram or anything like that. I just like a city. And I'm just saying, in my particular circumstance, you know, I'm just in a suburban culture with SUVs and huge houses and things. And it's not like a city where everybody's interacting and walking and talking and that sort of thing. And I'm just telling you, cigarettes are filling a need that, you know, there's an isolation here. There's
right.
An isolation even with people that live in the huge houses. Everybody's in their own little mansion, you know.
I hear you. I've been to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many lovely places in Charlotte, but the reality is it's the way you're qualifying it. What the record keepers are saying...
Okay.
Is that you already know this much, but there's more going on. In other words, like, it's more about you looking, and this is not a criticism, it's something they want you to notice. It's about you choosing to look outside of yourself rather than within yourself, because the reality is that a person can feel complete and whole, whole, whether they're on a desert island alone or whether they're in the middle of a huge city. And the idea here is that you have the opportunity right now, actually, to move into the deepest spirituality or centers that you know how, because there's no one expecting you to be a certain way from a spiritual point of view. You already know what your role is within the community, and you can move out of that role and into your private space to go deep into your own heart anytime you choose. And so what they're suggesting is that you move into your personal center and get what you need from within yourself. Because as you move into getting what you need from within yourself, the smoking will hold less attractiveness from a connection point of view, because you won't need to confirm it or reach outside of you if you're moving into your own center. The other piece is that if you're that unhappy with your location, what they're also suggesting is you have the wherewithal to move.
Right now I can't.
Well, I understand, but what they're saying is that you have the wherewithal to move, and you have the ability to not be there 24/7.
This is very true. It's funny. I'm at a website right now with Columbia, South Carolina. This is very true. I mean, I'm not tied down in any particular way.
Uh huh.
But I'm looking at Columbia, South Carolina right now. I don't know if they're saying anything about that.
No, they're not. The records will really never tell you like where to go and where to move, because that would be taking away your free will choice. What the records are saying is, I mean, you know, after all, you've got a place like Asheville.
Oh, I lived in Asheville. Part of the thing is I'm a water person. The mountains, I get claustrophobia. That was a nightmare. And Asheville, I don't think, is as great a city as a lot of people make it out to be. But
well,
I need
the issue is, Dawn, is you have to decide where it is that you feel aligned.
That's
I mean, for that matter, you could have some astrocartography done and then go experiment with different places.
Well, that's what I'm really thinking. Astrocartography.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, that's clearly, and for those people who are listening that don't know what astrocartography is when you have as your astrological chart done, and then they overlay that chart on the different ley lines to find out where your planets align, so that you really get a better sense of where you're going to feel more fulfilled, where you're going to be more successful with a career or relationships or dollars, etc. And you can certainly Google or go to ask.com around astrocartography. It's all over the net if you want that. You know, just want to make a comment. If there's anyone out there that wants to call after Dawn is done, please call the numbers that are on the BBS website. And I just want to make a comment also that, Akashic Record Consultants International is one of the sponsors of our show, and we also encourage you to go to their website, which is at www.arc-akashicrecords.org. If you're curious about the Akashic Records and what we do with them, and if you'd like a class. You live in North Carolina. I'm actually going to be in San Diego teaching a class at the end of this month.
What a great city.
Oh, I love San Diego. Love San Diego. And but get back to your issue about your addiction.
Mm-hmm.
The addiction from smoking comes from a place of alignment. The way that you release that from the smoking is by aligning yourself to... I'm talking slow because I'm waiting for them to share with me. See, I don't interpret anything. I tell you exactly what I see here. Yeah, but it's about aligning yourself. It's really about aligning yourself with that which is highest within you. And what I'm hearing is it is the alignment comes from a very strong aha moment that will come to you the deeper you go within you. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think a piano would be a very helpful thing, too.
Okay. Then that's what you should do.
Thank you, guides.
Yeah, you're welcome. And if you'd like to know more about who I am and what I do, my name is Donna Fox. I'm glad you kind of wandered in there on my show. That was great.
That's
great talking to you.
That must have been
I hope you find your information out about the appendix. And my website is akashicwisdom.com.
Awesome.
All right, darling. You have a great evening.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye. Okay, well, that was a nice little interlude there, wasn't it? So here are some of the questions that I was sent regarding the addiction of obesity as we were talking. And we want to talk about what the role of the addiction and how does it serve humanity. What is the core issue creating obesity as an experience for the U.S. and the world? And let's start there for a moment, because everybody has their own issues around their different addictions. But the question of what is the core issue creating obesity as an experience and as an epidemic for the U.S. and the world? And what the record keepers are saying is that we as a society, from a human point of view, all over the world, but specifically on a grander scale here in the U.S., are going through a time of a great need for nurturing. At the same time, we're going through a great fear. And if you'll notice, where the largest amount of obesity is being focused, it's around our children, and then around our seniors. Now, what's interesting here is the instant gratification that comes forward when you're dealing with obesity stems from the feeling of not being loved and the fear of stepping into one's greatness. The aspect of not feeling loved we are raising now a generation of latchkey children that, due to the economy and due to the need of moms and dads to have to work, these kids are growing up without the proper nutrition education and the proper supervision. So what's happening, and I don't know if you folks ever go to buffets or not, but it's really interesting when you go to a buffet. First of all, buffets are the worst places for people who are overweight. I know that because I go there myself, and I know that when I go to a buffet, I sometimes don't have the greatest control in the world. But I look around me, and I see what families are eating. And there'll be a whole table full of kids and parents, and the kids go get their meals. And their meal from the buffet, because they can pick anything they want, will consist of a plate of fried chicken, mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese, and corn. And the parent that's sitting across from them is having pizza, macaroni and cheese, and maybe a green vegetable, or maybe some carrots, or maybe some French fries. And so those kids are loading up on those carbohydrates, and the parents have not schooled the children in how to eat healthy. Now, even though, and I've just got to tell you this, that most overweight people, all right, especially if they're in their 40s or 50s or that, have been on many diets. They know what healthy eating is. Their choice is maybe not to eat that healthy, but they do know how to eat healthy. However, when you look at a family, and these are the way these kids are being raised, to eat all those starches with a fried food, it's no wonder that our children, and we have an epidemic of obesity. Now that's just a physical aspect of what's going on. take it one step further to a time where the kids come home from school, they're bored, they're watching TV, they're not exercising, and they're feeling lonely and sad because they are alone. And if you got cookies and candy and chips and soda, well, that's what they're eating before dinner. And then if their dinner consists of the three starches and the fried chicken, because their mom or their dad had to stop at fast food because they didn't have time to make dinner when they got home, these kids are existing on empty calories. And we, as a society, have to look at how we are nurturing our children and how we are taking care of their body, their mind, and their soul. And one of the best ways that we can care for our children is by being models for them of how to eat healthy. And that is an absolute key to part of this dilemma or this challenge or this epidemic. It's incumbent on the parents to move into their own health and their own self-loving so they're able to eat healthy, not smoke, and put their children in an environment that is nurturing, loving, and safe. You know, I mentioned the show possibly a few weeks ago that I have a new grandchild. And her name is Lily, and she's absolutely beautiful. And I have other grandchildren that are absolutely beautiful, too. There's Martha, and there's Seth, and there's Nathan, and there's Corey, and oh my goodness, and lots of other. I have 11 grandkids, and there's Kara, and there's Faith, and Chelsea, and Wesley, and Rachel, and I think that, oh, and Hannah. I think I got them all. But the new one, the brand new one, she is going to be 2 months old tomorrow. And the reason I mention her is because I am blessed in being able to take care of her 1 or 2 days a week. And I make it my business, number one, her mom doesn't want her to see any TV until she's one. And that's fine with me. So, but if my husband comes home and wants to watch the news, what he does is he gets angry because I would not let him even watch the news because I don't want that news in earshot for that child. I don't want her to hear the news, even as a newborn baby, because the subconscious catches what is on television. And what you want for your children is to have them have wonderful, loving, supportive thoughts and sounds around them at all times. And so make no mistake that oh, well, they don't understand what's going on, so therefore I can watch or listen to anything I want. Be very aware that these kids pick up everything. Your subconscious picks up everything. You want to make sure that you create an environment for your children that, again, is loving, supportive, nurturing, and healthy. Okay, so let's get back to this other questions here. All right. So I have a question from a gal, and she said that she is coming upon her 50th birthday, and she promised herself she would lose 100 pounds. And each day she remembered, sometimes she tried, she agonized, went unconscious, and forgot it. And what she is being the most sad about is putting off a commitment to herself. And so the question is how can I, and or what, no, the actual question that she wants to know, the record keepers are saying, is what is blocking me from maintaining my commitment to myself? So I am going to take a moment and Okay, so Marianne, your issue here about not maintaining a commitment to yourself has to do with a great amount of anger that you are holding for all the people who said that you weren't capable of taking care of yourself. There are toxic people in your life, and what I'm hearing is there are people in your life that don't even realize they're toxic, but they create a toxic reaction within you. It's an impatience. And it's an anger that you have when you work with them or deal with them, their family members. And what's important here is it's the anger you're holding for your mom, who did not expect the best from you, but allowed you to be not only second best, but third and fourth best. So as you were growing up, this is very interesting, as you were growing up, you, instead of being asked or required to do your best, as your mom's way of letting her love you or showing you she loved you, her way was to let you slide and not be too hard on you. So because no one really ever expected you to be the magnificent being you are, you continued to let yourself down. And as you let yourself down, you continued to have the desire to hide. And so the more you had the desire to hide, the more weight you put on. And the angrier you got. And the anger started out with the feeling that you weren't being loved because nobody expected anything from you. And when in fact, it was the exact reason. It was your mom didn't want to give you a hard time. Isn't that interesting? And yet, now today, when you're asked to do your personal best, you don't even know what that is. So rather than stick by your commitment, it's easier to let yourself slide. Because that's what your mom did. Now just think about that. And for all of you out there, think about commitment for yourself. And how has consciousness, or how has commitment been missing in your consciousness? And what the record keepers are specifically talking about is commitment to self. So, what does that mean to you? What does it mean for you to be committed to yourself? What does it mean to you for you to do a personal inventory that gives you information of, again, not from a critical point of view, but from an awareness point of view, about the way that you've let yourself down, so that you, when you look at it, you can make other choices. You may also want to notice how you distract yourself from staying on task. and truly become an observer of who you are and what you're doing. And when you have a chance, become very aware of what flaws are blaring out to you that you would like to shift. Just take a look at that. Take a look of when you get triggered that you want to go and hide. Take a look at what gets triggered and creates a sense of wanting to go and nurture yourself by eating. And I'm curious if possibly some of the listeners can help. I want to know if there's any studies on pacifiers for women, pacifiers for overweight people. Not that you should have a pacifier, but the idea of how many overweight individuals had pacifiers as children. And of those people who had pacifiers as children, how many are, like I said, are obese? And how many are smokers? That would be an important piece. So if you know of a study like that, I would love to have you email me at donna@akashicwisdom.com. Love to know of any of those studies. Okay, so let's get back to these phones. If you would like to call in, let's give you those numbers. If you're in the USA, please give a call at 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, you can call toll free at 888-815-9756. Or if you're out of the country or just want to call direct, you can call 530-876-3222. All right, let's get back to our questions. I'm going to see if we have any email questions here. Okay. Let me just see. Okay. We have a... I'm going to go here and see. And if there's a question from Natalie, I would love to have you email it to me again because I don't seem to have it. So we had questions from last week that I wanted to go over. Let's see here. People want to send in questions around what their purpose is, and I want to tell you folks, I love you dearly, but that's not what we want to do. I don't talk about what's your purpose on the phone, on the show. So let's take a look. Okay, so if Natalie's out there and listening, please email me a new question, okay? I would appreciate that because I don't have one. I don't have one for me. I just have your telephone number. Okay, getting back to our questions. All right, so we're talking about commitment. We're talking about obesity. And what we want to do is they want to understand. Here's another question. How are obesity, clutter, and procrastination related within the human? How are obesity, clutter, and procrastination related within the human? So if you have a procrastination issue, or if you have a clutter issue or obesity issue, notice if you have the other two. If you're overweight, do you also have an issue with clutter, and do you also have an issue with procrastination? And if, in fact, you do, please email me at Donna, D-A-H-N-A, at akashicwisdom.com. Okay? I would love to hear from you because we're going to be starting a study on this. So what do the Akashic Records have to say about how obesity, clutter, and procrastination are related? Okay, so first of all, what's coming forward here is that the underlying issue is the reluctance of letting go. And so the reluctance of letting go is what is the reason for the clutter, it's reason for the obesity, and the procrastination plays in a way that moves a person into the fear of being wrong. So when a person procrastinates, they're afraid of being wrong, therefore they go ahead and they procrastinate, hoping, well actually what it is they move into a space of making excuses for themselves. And by saying that at least that if I procrastinate or if I don't do this on time or if I work, or if I work better under pressure, then if for whatever reason the project isn't perfect, then what happens is you can easily say, oh well, you know, I was working under stress, or I let it go to the last minute. So the idea here is the way that's related comes from a place, wow, of also hiding. Procrastination is about the fear of being wrong. Wait has to do with the fear of being seen. And clutter has to do with being in control. Wow. And what they're saying is a lack of ability to be intimate. It's a fear of intimacy. The clutter has to do with the fear of intimacy. Isn't that interesting? So I would love to talk to someone about that. So if you have any comments, please give a call. I'd like to share with you that this program is one of the sponsors is Akashic Record Consultants International, and that website is www.arc-akashicrecords.org. My schedule is up on the BBS radio information for the host, so if you go scroll down, you'll find out where I'm going to be speaking. Actually, I have a very interesting schedule coming up. This weekend I was in Philadelphia, actually the Marlton, New Jersey area. The end of the month I'm going to be in San Diego. There's the Akashic Record Consultant International Conference in Odessa, Texas in October, October 20th and 21st. So if that's of interest to you, please come. We would love to see you there. I'm going to be in Minnesota at the Edge Life Expo. And that is in November. Oh, yes, I forgot. And the Universal Light Expo I'm going to be speaking at in Columbus. And that is Columbus Day weekend, actually. I think it's right after. It's in October. And it is October 13th and 14th in Columbus, Ohio. So come on by there. And the Edge Expo in November is in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And that expo is November 9th, 10th, and 11th. And I will be also offering a level 1 and level 2 in San Diego in September, in Cleveland, Ohio in the first weekend in November, and in Minneapolis, Minnesota in the weekend of the 16th, 17th, and 18th. Okay, so back to our questions. All right. Next weekend, I also want to tell you that we're going to have Malcolm Fraser on. Malcolm Fraser is going to be offering a a workshop for the Ho'oponopono work, and we're going to be talking about the work of Dr. Hugh Len and all the Ho'oponopono work. We're going to be talking about that next week on Sunday. In fact, next Sunday I'm actually going to be attending a Ho'oponopono workshop here in Philadelphia, and I'm going to be talking to Malcolm Frazier that evening on the show live. So if you have some curiosities about what Ho'oponopono is, if you want to go up to the Foundation of I on the Internet, or you want to Google Ho'oponopono, please do so and get your questions ready for Malcolm Frazier. And we'll have all his contact information next week. So please be sure and tune into that. All right. Okay. Okay, so Natalie, here's Natalie's question. She said, my question has to do with how I can get back into a living situation where I have access to water again, water I can swim or exercise in. I'm approaching 60 now and have found that I need to be in water to exercise. I have a disability which has made it difficult to stay fit, and now I'm older, low-impact exercise seems to be the only way. But it's not been possible to get myself to water. I may be moving soon, and I'm hoping to manifest that the water in my new environment. Exercise seems to be the missing component that keeps everything in balance for me. And so the question here, Natalie, is, and this is a Donna response, not a records response, but I'm going to make the assumption that you've already tried to go to the YMCA or the YWCA or different various sports places where you could use the pool. One of the things I do want to share with you is if, in fact, those places seem to be prohibitive regarding money, that colleges that have gymnasiums and pools offer a very economical way of using their pool at off times when they don't have classes. So that's just kind of a Donna comment, not necessarily from the records. However, I'm not quite sure how to really help you. The reason for that, Natalie, is because the question isn't necessarily how can you get back to a situation where you can access water, because there are always places where there might be a pool. However, your disability would give you an opportunity to get a prescription for water therapy. Now, what I do want to say though is that one of the issues that what's coming forward from the records is that you're suffering from some depression here that is spiraled from a lack of acknowledgement, not only of self, but there's a lack of acknowledgement of others. And that one of the ways you can shift that and shift your acknowledgement can be by acknowledging yourself. They're suggesting that you actually, this is a very interesting suggestion, they actually are asking you to consider getting a CD with ocean waves on it, because there's something from the ocean, the aspect of the ocean waves that is very important to you. It has an energetic feel to you that can be very helpful. So what I'd like to share with you is to get the CD with ocean sounds, and to go to sleep with it, to meditate with it, etc. That's from the record keepers. Okay? Okay, folks, it is now 11:55, and we have got to say goodnight. We have to make room for the next wonderful show coming up on BBS Radio. So at this point, I'd like to say goodnight to everyone, tell you how much I love you, and close the records out for this show. Again, next week, we're having Malcolm Fraser. He is going to be putting on a Ho'oponopono workshop in Chicago the following weekend, and we're going to be talking about it. And I'm going to be straight out of a workshop with Dr. Hugh Len, and we can talk very, very experientially about all things around Ho'oponopono. So for this week, I'd like to tell you to stay in touch with that what brings you joy. Stay in touch with what makes you feel good about you. And allow your knowing to move through your body and to always, always honor your inner guidance. And with that, I close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show by saying amen, amen, amen. The records of the Akashic Wisdom Show are now closed. Amen. Good night. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.